Joining us now is Ken Tanner, 1993 NAFB president. Ken, good to talk with you again. It's been a while. Kind of bring us up to date. I know you've been battling some health issues. Give us an update.
Yeah, it's been a long two summers. I've spent more time in the hospital than I have out and rehab. Had a drastic operation last July and actually took me off my feet. But now the good part is I'm able to rehab at home, and I've got the PT people from St. Michael's Catholic Church are coming over and devoting their time, so it's all good. We're getting on the walker and then off of it and moving forward. Yeah, so good progress.
Where is home for you today? Where is home?
It is in Cary, North Carolina. Cary is a suburb of Raleigh, about 5 miles down the road from Raleigh. When I moved into Cary in 1979, when I went to work for WRAL-TV, we had about 40,000 people in Cary. Now we have 140,000 people and still growing. So Cary is booming, as is Raleigh and the Research Triangle Park. Also, the Research Triangle Park is one of the companies there. Fuji is developing one of the vaccines that's on warp speed for the virus. So right in our own backyard, we're doing vaccine research.
Well, Ken, take us back. I think a lot of people remember you from the days when you and Ray Wilkinson and Dix Harper were working together. But take us back to how you got started in farm broadcasting.
I fell into it. My father did all the growing at our house in Roanoke, Virginia, where I grew up. I never dug anything and was a gentleman farmer. But I was at WNCT, which stands for North Carolina Tobacco, in Greenville, North Carolina, as the sports and news and disc jockey on the weekends. And our farm director was Billy Juergen. And Billy had sold out the farm hours from 5 to 7 in the morning and 12 noon to 1 in the afternoon. I mean, they had sold it out to all the national companies. So it was a big thing on WNCT, as you might imagine, farm news was. And Billy got a job as the head of the Tobacco Information Committee. So he came to Raleigh, tobacco growers, and went to work for the tobacco growers. Gave 2 weeks' notice, and so they came from Ithaca, New York, the headquarters of Park Broadcasting, a vice president, and took me out to dinner. And while we were to dinner, they said, "Oh, by the way, you're our new farm director." And I said, "Well, that is interesting, because I don't know anything about digging in the ground or how to plant anything." They said, "Well, you better learn, because you're on Monday morning at 5 o'clock with a 2-hour farm drill." So, you know, what you do is you ask the experts. So I went to the local Extension Service office of North Carolina State. I knew the Extension Director, Ed Yancey. And Ed, in 15 minutes, had me out on one of the largest tobacco farms in the county, and that tobacco grower and I, 1 year later, won the national award for best farm broadcasting on tobacco in the whole state. So I learned. Wow. I had to learn fast.
Yeah, you learn quickly and learned on the job, and then obviously that opened some doors for you, and you've had quite a career. Kind of take us through the next step. Where did you go from there?
Well, I was working at, as I said, the WNCT. I was there 4 years with a friend of mine who was the general manager in Greenville. And we would cross paths all the time with Ray Wilkinson. Ray was with the Tobacco Radio Network, had started that, and was the vice president for WRAL-TV. Anyway, Ray made a call one day and said, how would you like to make a permanent trip to the city? We're offering you a job at WRAL-TV with me and Vern Strickland. So, of course, I took it, and I walked into WRAL-TV as one of their farm broadcasters in 1979, and 22 years later, I retired from WRAL television. And then I was had a broadcast background with the Richmond Braves as their play-by-play guy, one of them. And the powers that be at Capitol remembered that. WRAL owns the Bulls baseball team. So they said, how would you like to go over in retirement and help out with the Bulls? So I went over there 20 years ago, and I'm still there.
Yeah, you've had a couple of careers, baseball announcing as well as your farm broadcasting. Tell us about those days working with Ray Wilkinson. What was that like as your network continued to grow and expand?
Well, Ray had these visions of a barter network where we would take the first and the station would be able to take the second. And it worked out very well, especially for the small stations in Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama. So Ray originally had got in his car and just expanded that network from North Carolina to Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and part of Eastern Virginia. We ended up with 240 stations on the tobacco network. But we made it a commodity network. I did soybean news for 20 years. Also did peanut news, and Ray did cotton news and tobacco news, and another peanut report 3 days a week on that network. So we're really a service to those stations in Georgia and Alabama, which went on us for some of their revenue. So we were on from 6 to 7 in the morning, or 12 noon to 1 o'clock in Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Virginia. It was an exciting time. Now, originally, like Orion Samuelson and Max in Chicago, we had reel-to-reel tape. So we had to do it on the old reel-to-reel tape and send them out by boxes to the stations. That's how they got them. And we'd send them, the weekend before, so they'd have them to play on Monday morning in Alabama or Georgia or wherever. Well, when we got to modern technology, Capitol Broadcasting put up the satellite dishes. So no longer did we have to send them by tape. We went on satellite, went up and hit the satellite. We were down at the stations. There were still more stations waiting to get their tapes and tapes being lost in the mail and all of that. So we went with modern technology as we moved along. Ray was absolutely fabulous to work for. He had a great sense of humor. He did speeches all over the country with his Cecil and Leonard friend. And he was delightful to work for. Ray was the vice president of Capitol Broadcasting. So he was the go-between between big management and him, although you didn't have to go very far because Jim Goodman and Capitol Broadcasting have been wonderful to me, and I've been loyal to them.
When did Dix Harper join you?
Well, about 5 years in, Ray had a heart attack. And came right out for almost a year in 83. And I was running it alone. I did all the television and all those radio commodities. And I couldn't keep that pace up. So Vern Strickland had quit and gone with one of the political campaigns. So it left that I was just there by myself. And So we Ray had to do something. So Dix Harper was over at Specialized Ag Publications as the editor, and so we hired Dix in 84. So Dix was with us up until he retired in 94, 95 or so. Yeah.
What are some of your fondest memories of NAFB?
Oh, there's so many. I first was introduced to the NAFB when I was a farm broadcaster in Greenville, when I fell into it. So that would be 1977 when I first, well, the first convention. And I was just overwhelmed. There were so many people that helped me through, Orion Samuelson and Max. Evan Slack was a very close friend of mine, and Tom Hoy from the electric co-op, and I became good friends. And there were so many people. Tom Brand, who came in as a dairy farmer and started doing the right thing, asking questions of the old heads, you know, and we're able to get Tom's background and fill him in on the ways of the NAFB, and it was the president's the trade talk with NAMA, the president's banquet. There's so many things. That hotel where we have been at the Weston Crown Center in Kansas City, I would pull up to the door, and the doorman knew me, and of course our head bellman knew me, and you were just at home for 4 or 5 days when you were in Kansas City. Always looked forward to it, and I had so many NAFB friends. You know, tragically, we lost Dan Wilkinson, Ray's son, came on board in the later years at WRAL-TV to help me when Dix retired, and Dan Wilkinson came and unfortunately died in 2013 at 44. And that was a big loss to me because Dan and I were apart in age, but we were like brothers together. So I still miss Dan Wilkinson.
We mentioned earlier your two careers, the baseball announcing and the farm broadcasting. Did you enjoy one more than the other, or did they just kind of just work together pretty seamlessly for you?
They work together seamlessly. I always tell people, as a baseball broadcaster, you traveled with the team when I was with the Braves to the cities like Rochester and Syracuse, play Rochester Red Wings and Syracuse Chiefs and the Buffalo Bisons up there on that trip. And we flew up there and then bused to those places. But you were in the United States. As a farm broadcaster, I was over half the world, literally half the world. We hitched ourselves to the wagon of John Block, who was Secretary of Agriculture, with George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, and became a good friend of the NAFB and of me when I was president and chairman of the board. John said, why don't you come on, and we're going on an international trip. So with the help of our sponsors, Elanco, and folks like that, we were able to go halfway around the world, literally. So we were in places like Copenhagen, Denmark, for the international talks on agriculture. We were in Geneva, Switzerland, made that trip with Ken Root, by the way. We were in Spain with the Soybean Association and Hugh Whaley. And we were in Turkey, three or four places. In Turkey, we're in Turkey almost 2 weeks from Istanbul all the way down to Adana, Turkey, and then into Athens, Greece on those trips. and over to London a couple of times with the Ford Motor Company when they changed from Ford to Ford internationally, and they were bought by a company in Italy through London, and we were there for that that trade-off, and we were in their plants and everything in England. So I never would have been in any of those places had it not been for my farm broadcasting career. Yeah, you could travel with a baseball team, but you're only going to go so far as the baseball team. I also did University of Richmond basketball at the same time. You know, your trips to Morgantown, West Virginia, for West Virginia University, and, you know, the Citadel and in South Carolina. So that was about it, you know. But internationally, yeah, the NASB opened that door for me. And then I was vice president, of course, president-elect, chairman of the board after I was president. So all those times I got to travel, not only in this country, but internationally. And also going back to traveling in this country, when you're president-elect, as you very well know, and president, you have to go to all the regional meetings. And I said, have to. I loved it. You know, we were from Mississippi to Alabama to New York State to everywhere on the regional meetings. So that was an exciting time. And then I was on the ground floor when we opened Washington Watch for the first time. So we had that exciting thing to do. And then I was on the ground floor when we opened the network feeds for different broadcasters around the country to put their stuff together and send it to the NFB network.
A lot of great memories indeed, Ken. It's sure good to talk with you again. You take care of yourself. We wish you good recovery and hope to talk with you again soon. You take care.
I'm moving ahead. Thank you so much, Mike.
Great to catch up with you. Ken Tanner, 1993 NAFB president.